Y'all can go be seated, or I don't think I'm going to sing, but if I do, I'm so good I can just do it on my. I'm a stylist. I don't have to know the words. Amen. I better have them in another choir. Yeah. The Lord will help us. If I break off singing, just sing with me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Well, we've been talking about being led. Last week we took a break and prayed. That was a good prayer, wasn't it? Yeah. Did anybody pray further about that? I prayed a little bit more about that. You know, we need to always pray for our nation, pray for our leaders, pray for each other, and pray for those who don't know Jesus on a daily basis, because that opens the door for one more opportunity. How many are glad you got one more opportunity? And that opportunity, you said, yeah, this is my time. And you took him up on his wonderful offer. Glory to God. Well, open your Bibles to Romans 8, verse 14. We'll go further with some things tonight. Been doing faith adventures. You know, you think whenever Mrs. Moore talked to me about it first, I thought, well, I don't know that I've had that many. But, you know, life is a faith adventure.
There you go.
You know, who was it? Stephen Curtis Chapman had that song, This is the Great Adventure. This is the great adventure.
Yeah.
Amen? And if you're living and walking by faith, if you're walking in love, walking by faith, you're living in an adventure that always ends with victory for you.
Amen?
Amen? And that is the best place we can be. Glory to God. Romans 8, it says, for as many as are led, follow the Spirit, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if it's not, you know, being led means you're following, and that's one way to be led. But another way to be led is follow and have the same heart. When you get a hold of the heart of God, when you begin to see the way He sees, and to hear the way He hears. You know, you could be following somebody and they could say, look at that. There's some people that need help. And you could be following them and say, look at that. Those people are really messed up. Same people, two different hearts. Same people, two different hearts. So what we're looking for is the very heart of God. Because God never looks at people and says they're messed up. He said, my son died for them and rose again. Right? There's nobody in this universe that Jesus didn't give His life for and didn't come back from the grave for. Amen? And in doing so, when we receive that love, that love that He puts in us, when we receive that, we now receive the ability to follow that love. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, God is love, then they're led by the Spirit of love. Amen? And when you're led by that Spirit, you can begin to see things different. And your life will change. And when we're led that way, we do things according to His plan, according to His will. And you wake up every morning and it's not about you. Amen? You know, because before, even when I was a Christian, when I was young in the faith, life was still pretty much about me. Right? Anybody else ever been that way?
Yeah.
Or was it just me? You guys just got saved and immediately everything, you were it. You're as good as you were ever going to get right then. You know, for me, we and Kim, you know, we've been married forever. Well, we have. We got married. We got married when we were kids and grew up. Amen. And it's a good thing. I have no problem with that whatsoever. I'm glad I did it. At least I didn't have to learn a bunch of other things and then forget them. Right? Amen. So it was good. I'm glad. And it's good to be married, whether you got married at 18 or 48. It doesn't matter. But in our walk, we didn't walk with God, and we were very selfish. And then we walked with God, but we walked with God for us. Anybody, does that make sense to anybody? We walked with God because we needed. You know, we needed God. Anybody never need God in here? I still need Him. I still need Him, but now I trust Him enough to know that He'll take care of my needs. Amen? And so now I don't push to get my need. I'm not, we used to open the Bible and look for verses that would make me feel better. Right? And there came a day where we got past that. Where we got past that selfish Christianity and we got to that excited Christianity. Did you guys ever get to that excited? I'm hoping you're there right now. Amen. Because you don't want to leave that place. But when we got to that place, we were looking at the Bible for, okay, Lord, show me what I can tell somebody else today. Yeah. Everything we saw not only fit us, but we could share it with others. Amen? Amen. Right? Yeah. See, I got an older brother, and when we grew up, he was this size, I was this size, and everything he got fit me eventually. Right? Everything God gives us will fit you, and it will fit somebody else. And you're just looking for, and me and Rick don't talk about, we don't even talk on the Fridays. I don't talk to hardly anybody on Friday. But opportunity. Opportunity is what you should be looking for, not waiting for. Amen? We should get up in the morning looking for opportunity. Look at Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verse 15. We should be walking in love by faith. Amen? And as we are, a lot of people say, well, you don't want to covet. Well, you do want to covet earnestly the best gifts. Right? But then he's going to show you a more excellent way. What is that? The way to make those gifts effective. Right? Anybody ever studied the Bible looking for gifts? I wished I had that gift. I wish I had this gift. But why? Why do you need that gift? Why do you need one of the gifts of the Spirit? You need one of those gifts so you can love others with it. Love is the way to use those gifts. Love is the way to do everything that God gives us. It is the hands by which we reach. It is the mouth by which we speak. It is everything God is performed through love. Amen? Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. I had to look up circumspectly a few years ago, and I still forgot what it means now. Right? There's an exactness to it. Carefully. Yeah. See that you walk with an exactness. And what's he saying? That goes back to that first verse we read. If you're being led, you want to be led exact. You want to be carefully. You want to carefully follow what God's got going on. You want to do what he has for you to do. And as a young Christian, we tried. We got excited. We got excited about what, and we did anything anybody would ask us. I mean, I don't care if we knew them. If they said, hey, you're going to go to the hospital and pray for these people? Sure. What? We'd do it. We didn't care. We were excited. We had answers. We had the word. We were excited about it. And if it needed done, we'd be the doer. Amen. I mean, we didn't care. And there's some wisdom. There's some good things about that. And there's some not so good things, because some of the things probably God would have said, step back for a minute. Let me work. Right? Step back for a minute. But you learn that. But I would rather see someone excited and have to hold them back than have to drag them. Amen? So, in Proverbs 19, where were we at? We were in Ephesians. Go to Proverbs 19, verse 20, I think. In the NIV. No, verse 2, I'm sorry. Proverbs 19, 2. In the NIV. It says, desire. I don't know what NIV is, that NIV is, but that's not what mine says. I got an old one, and it says, zeal without knowledge is not good. And it is, and that doesn't, how much more will hasty feet miss the way? And it says, to be hasty, you'll miss the mark, basically. That must be a new version of the NIV. I got the old version. But, I've got it here. It says, it is not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way. And that miss the way means miss the mark. which is the same as sin. Not purposeful sin, but hasty sin. Amen? And the thing about that is it is bad to have zeal with knowledge, but it's worse to have knowledge with no love. Right? Or to have zeal or refuse your zeal so you can have knowledge. It seems to me like you get so many people and they jump out there to get knowledge and they lose their excitement. Right? And I mean, people say, well, you know, they probably just can't handle this. Well, what can they handle? Just because they can't handle this, they can handle something. Right? Just because you shouldn't say this, let your zeal and knowledge work together and give them something. Show them something. Give them something. You've got something they can use. Amen? Now go back to Ephesians 15. Ephesians 5:15. If you look for Ephesians 15... Yeah. Ephesians, and put that in the Amplified Classic, I'm going to assume. Amplified Classic. Well, I'm messing with them today. Usually I just let them throw the verses up there. There we go. Look carefully then how you walk. That's what circumspectly means. Look carefully then how you walk. And then I like this next verse because it says, live purposefully. Don't just live. Live with a purpose. Don't wait on opportunity. Look for opportunity. Everywhere you go, expect God to be bringing something into your life. Amen? And if you live purposely, you will be ready for anything that comes at you. Why? Because you'll read the Bible purposely. Purposefully. Right? You'll listen to the Word purposefully. Amen? You'll do things purposefully, because you're expecting to use it. You're not just expecting to keep it. You're expecting to use it. You're expecting to have an opportunity soon to use whatever God's showing you right now. Amen. And it says purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as unwise and witless, but as wise. Make our lives count. Our lives should count every day to someone else. To someone else. Not just you, to someone else. Our lives, if we're looking for an opportunity, we will affect somebody every day. Everybody's life's affecting somebody every day, whether it's adversely or for the good. Right? People say, I'm not affecting anybody. You probably are, and you don't really want to hear how you affected them, right? We went to a restaurant here locally that we go to quite often, and so we know the waitresses really well. And she came out, and she was glad to see us because in the summertime we don't usually get on the strip unless you just have to, you know, but we did because we wanted to eat there, you know, and maybe it was God giving us an opportunity. And so she stopped, and she said, well, it's been busy, but she said, the people this year, they're really mean. She said, the people are mean. And she said, they'll just stand in your face and be mean to you. And she said, that's not like what we've had in Branson before. She said, that's different than the years past. She said, not all the people are mean, but a lot of mean people. And of course, we said, well, we're getting ready to be mean to you too, so... But she was, you know what, though? The reason she was telling us is because she was happy to see us because she knew we were not going to be mean. We were going to be very kind. And in fact, she knew she was going to get a good tip because it doesn't even matter if you serve us good at that point. That's just what we're going to do. Right? But I thought how sad it is because they did affect her life. And they were affecting the other. People say, well, maybe she gave bad service. Maybe she deserved it. Nobody deserves for somebody to be mean to them. Nobody. Right? If somebody deserves to be mean, then for somebody to be mean to them, then it means that you're okay to be mean. And I can't find that anywhere in the Bible where it's okay to be mean. Right? It's not okay to be mean. It's not okay to yell to get your way. The customer's not always right. People don't like that, do they? You know, do you realize that most of the time the customer is actually wrong, but they get their way? Right? Because they bought something from somebody who knew what they were doing. Most of the time. I'm not saying all the time, but most of the time, the customer is wrong. Right? They just yell loud enough to get their way. But if people are going to be mean purposefully, then we as Christians, as people of love, we should purpose in our hearts to be kind purposefully. We should purpose in our hearts to walk in that love in such a way that every time we walk in somewhere, we make somebody's day brighter. No matter what it takes, no matter what we have for them, we make their day brighter. That is an important thing. And you know, that doesn't take a whole bunch of knowledge, but it does take zeal. Right? It does. If you're not on fire, the word zeal, the root word of zeal means hot to boiling. Right? So what's he say? He's saying, I want you to be on fire for the things of God. Amen. I want you to be on fire. And that's, in other words, when you walk in somewhere, you don't have to fan your flame. Oh, I got to get nice. We're walking in the restaurant. Come on, fire. Come on. You want to be excited when you wake up. You want to be excited when you leave your house. You want to be excited through the day. You want to be excited. Why? Because then you're ready. Then you're ready. Think about, we'll read this last verse and we'll go there. It says, making the most of the time. Making the most of every opportunity is literally what that says, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time is making the most of every opportunity. What opportunities? The ones you're looking for. The ones you're waiting for, you'll rarely see. The ones you're looking for, you'll see. Right? If you're waiting for something, it may pass in back of you. If you're looking for it, you're not going to let it happen. Right? I'm looking for my opportunity. Amen? Look at Luke 10, 30. King James, sorry. I'm not going to mess with you this time. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. 31. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He's not looking for an opportunity. Amen? And we could all be this way, right? I'm a priest. I serve in the church. I sit in the front row. I sing in the choir. I'm an usher. The Lord's not leading me to help you. Guess what? If he's in front of you and God's leading you, then you're passing right by him. It says that they're passing right by him. Amen? Next verse. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him. He said, oof, that's bad. Okay, got to go. Right? That's like be warm and filled. I hope you make it. I hope you make it. Amen? And that truly is the usher and the parking lot guy and the greeter. And that's the Levite. That's who that is. Well, what are they saying? Everybody can have an opportunity to do something great. Amen? Amen? Both these guys had an opportunity to do something great and chose not to. They both had the same opportunity that the Samaritan has. Next verse. And a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. So what was the first thing this guy packed up before he left that morning? Love. Love. He walked out of his house in love. Amen? So he had compassion on him, verse 34, and went to him, bound up his wounds, so he was carrying bandages, right? Had oil and wine to use as antiseptic, I guess. This is part that he had to be carrying this again. And set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. So he obviously had loaded up band-aids, oil, wine, took plenty of money, had his donkey ready. Amen? He was packed up and ready to roll. What was he ready for? An opportunity. He was ready. He was looking for an opportunity to be a blessing. And he had everything in his pack to do so. And when we wake up in the morning, you know, I was thinking today, that's why we were looking at this. When we first started Bible studies and different things, Rick carried a black bag. It was about this big. It was like a doctor's bag, right? Only it was like twice as big as a doctor's bag. And in it, he carried Bibles, all the little mini books that we could find, right? And every tape. You know, I've told you guys, I'm going to show them to you. This is just a sample of the cassette tapes that we used to get every month, or what was it, every quarter? Every quarter from Brother Moore, right? Pass the test, enter the rest. Glory to God. You know how many times we copied that one? A lot. Amen. What's this one? Love seeks not its own. You know how many times we copied it? A lot. Why? There was answers. And you know what we did with them? We packed them in that bag. We packed them in my Bible case. We packed them. I was looking through the list of people that, because they kept a record of everybody we gave a cassette to. It's right there. And you know, one of the name, two of the names that kept coming up to me over and over again, Robert Vandiver, on staff here, Tom Sanders was on staff here. He now is in the ministry in Louisiana. Amen. You know what they both did later on? After giving out all of these for free before they ever worked for this ministry, Tom Sanders was over the Word Supply. And then he went to minister in Louisiana. Now Robert Vandiver is over the Word Supply. Huh? He's still sowing these seeds right here. Amen? Only not being a pirate about it anymore. Amen? Amen. God loves me. This is the original God loves me. This is the one before the church started. By the way, if you're very young, these are called cassette tapes. Yeah, cassette tapes. And we used to copy them off as many as we could. And these are just some. We had about 30 of messages because they sent them out for free every quarter. Every quarter, and we got them. And we didn't have all the knowledge in the world, but we had all the knowledge in the world. You know, we had everything you could want to get to somebody. And when we heard these, we didn't just get them and we listened to them 5 and 6, 7 times. And when we listened to them, calling those things that be not as though they were. Glory to God. No more down days. That one we copied off a whole bunch. How many like to have no more down days? When we heard that, we thought, what? Everybody got to know about this. And we started telling everyone and passing them out. We said, you got to, how to make it through. Glory to God. This is back in the 90s. The church what didn't exist. There was no free Word Supply. But yet they were sewing cassette tapes. And I bet we weren't the only ones doing this. Amen? Now they put it on YouTube. Right? Freedom from condemnation. Glory to God. We taped these off. We bought a little, what, just two, one tape and you, four. You could make four at one time. And we bought one. And we said, because we want to make these. And we filled his bag. And everywhere we went, he carried that bag. If we were in the hospital, the person we were going to see was not the only person getting those cassettes. Anybody who would listen to us. Now, don't get me wrong. We didn't just start handing them out like tracts. That's not what we did. We looked for somebody who would listen for a minute. Why? Because that's the person that needs you. That's your opportunity. And when they come to us, they'd start telling us. And we don't even know why they're telling us. We didn't know some of them. You know, I mean, some of the things that God let us go do and was kind enough not to say, oh, boy, you messed that up. I mean, it was amazing. But he let us give these out.
Why? I didn't have all the knowledge, but I had the zeal and I had the knowledge in my hand. I was getting the knowledge, but I had it in my hand. I had the books. I had we had from Brother Moore. We had some from, I know we kept God Wants You Well from Miss Gloria. We kept bunches of that. Why? Because that's what we were excited about. If we're excited about it, everybody's got to want it, right? We can't be the only ones excited about this. And you would be amazed at how many people did get excited about it. How many people we did hand them out to, and they'd show up later and say, man, you handed me this tape, and where's your Bible study at? We want to come to that. And where do you go to church? We want to go to there. And why? We didn't have all the knowledge in the world, but we had the zeal. Guess what we have in this church? You know what? We may not know everything, but there is a series. There is something. And if you've got the zeal, you can't just call it, you know, I remember years ago, and I don't remember who it was, and it wouldn't matter who it was, but we do recommend series to every people that call if they have an issue. We always recommend a series. But it's not just about recommending a series. And this person actually emailed back because we'd recommended two or three series for what they were going through. And they said, these series are great, but every now and then we need to talk to a people. And you know what? They were right. Why? Because they needed somebody to minister those series to them. See, that's what we were able to do by carrying that bag around. They're like, what in the world you got in there? And they look at all these cassettes and all these Bibles and all these books, and they're like, what is wrong with you people? But yet we need some of this. Right? What's wrong with you people? We're the Good Samaritan. We don't know what's going to happen that day, but we've got everything. We got every answer you could ever want in that black duffel bag. Doctor's bag. So that's what it looked like. It looked like those old time doctors. You know, you carry your bag. Only this thing weighed about 50 pounds. And you picked it up. And we didn't just take a few things when we went in the hospital. We carried the bag. Right? We didn't care where we sent. Well, I know one time Rick's cousin was in a horrible accident. Motorcycle. Head on with the semi. And they said, he's not living. You guys need to come on in. And they called us. They called Rick, and Rick came and got me out of Bible study, which is a whole nother story. I was teaching a Bible study somewhere else, and I wasn't going to go. And God said, you need to go. And Rick was waiting for me outside because he'd already asked me to go. And so we went, and I've never seen anything like this. I mean, never. I mean, he was unrecognizable. Swollen and bruised and bloody, and there was blood everywhere. And they're like, he's not going to make it. And you know what? We were just stupid enough to think he would. Right? You know, sometimes it takes somebody that's just stupid enough. Right? Just got enough faith that they refuse to say, you know, you're probably right. Maybe he'll just go on. Sometimes it just takes somebody with enough zeal and a bag full of knowledge. And he says, you know what? We've heard this. And it says, you'll not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. And besides that, we weren't sure he was saved at that point. In fact, I think we were sure he wasn't. And that just couldn't happen because he was part of Rick's family. And you know what? He's got to be saved before he leaves. Right? We're looking for another opportunity, Lord. So we start praying. I don't even remember what we prayed. Don't know that it was right or wrong, but what we did do is we loved enough to go in there and say, you know what? I know you know what you know, Doc, but we're going to pray. We're going to believe God. We're going to believe something different than what's being said and what the family thinks, because they didn't think anything good. Fact is, I'm not even sure they were that happy to see us. One of them was, yeah, the one that called. Thank you, Lord. That we were just enough zeal. We refused to say, well, it's just too late. You know what? We can't. You know what? We're just going to have to let him go. No, we said, no, we're not just going to let him go. People say, well, I prayed and they still went away. You know what? Pray anyway. You know what? Have enough zeal. Have enough fire in you to desire to see something more. Ultimately, it's going to be their choice, but God will work in it. God will work in it. You know what? When we were young and we didn't know what to do, God helped us in a lot of ways. And now that I've got knowledge, He'll say, "Don't you remember what I taught you? Right? Do it this way now." But back then, He said, "You go, boys. You go, boys." Yeah. Amen? Right. And you know what? Yeah. What was it? 2 days later? 2 weeks? No, 2 days later, though, He woke up or something like that. Yeah, we got to talk. 2 days later, He woke up, which He wasn't supposed to do. Yeah, and we got to talk to Him. And by 2 weeks, He got out. And guess what? He did get saved before He did pass on later. Glory to God. Why? Because we were looking for an opportunity. Why? Because we just love God, and He's filled a bag full of stuff, and we got permission from these people to let us copy it and give it and teach it. I mean, our Bible studies are teachings off these tapes. That's what we do. We take and we'd say, "This is what we heard this week," and everybody start getting excited. Why? Because that's what we heard this week. Yeah. And it was good. That whatever was in the bag was good. Amen? And what we knew is we had answers for anybody that would ask. We had love for anybody that would let us. Right? And we'd go anywhere we were told. Amen? And if we would do those three things, that kind of zeal, that's the kind of things that still are happening today. Now, like I said, Robert giving out tapes in 1995, 6, whatever it was. Now he's giving them out from the ministry every day. Glory to God. Glory to God. And the thing is now we get testimonies every day from this same thing. And we started doing this before we ever knew Him. But we get stacks of testimonies that say, because this ministry chose to send these out at no charge, I was able to get them, and they changed my life forever. And you know, just like Rick was saying just a minute ago about my parents who introduced him to More Life Ministries, it changed their life forever. You know how much those cassettes cost? Nothing. And they changed our life forever. Because when we started listening to him, and we'd been listening to Brother Copeland, and he was awesome. I remember in 1996, we got to go to our first Believers Convention. And it was, I was rock star struck. I mean, I was in a place where everybody I'd ever heard, I could see him. I'm sitting, as far up as you can. Because I park in the back parking place too. But I'm sitting up there and I can see, and I see Brother Copeland for the first time, other than on TV. And I see Brother Jerry and Brother Jesse, and I see Brother Creflo. And then I see Brother Keith Moore walk out and get in a seat. Glory to God. And I watched him. I don't know why. I'm like, why? Because I'm using your stuff every day. Every day. Every day. And Brother Creflo Dollar preached a word that year that I'll never forget. It changed my life. It took me from believing for me to believing through me. There's a time in your life where you give because you need to give. You need to sow. You need seed in the ground. And there's also a time in your life where you give because you just love somebody. Still seed, good seed. And I remember in 1997, we went to the West Coast Believers Convention, which now, we don't have the money to go anywhere. We used credit cards. Right? We did whatever it took, but we got there. People say, "Oh, you shouldn't have done that." Well, young and dumb. Zeal without knowledge. Thank God I was going to get some knowledge. Amen. But we sat up in the seats there. It was a smaller venue, but it was really fun. That was a really fun. And these two people sat down in front. You remember their names? No. Yeah, but they sat down in front of us all week. And we had never really just given money to somebody. I'm not saying we hadn't given. We'd done some giving, but not just to an individual because we didn't have any. And God said, "So I don't think it was that much. What? $25, $50 to them, which would be a mint to us at that point. And we just said, yeah, why? We were excited. We didn't look at our checkbook to see if we had the money. We didn't see, we didn't check and say, are you sure, God? Because I don't know if that works for me. We didn't look at it any other way. We just said, that's fun. And I believe in my life, that was the first time that I gave in such a way that I was only looking at the receiver. I'm thankful for that day. And that's a day, because it took a long time for me to get that. Why? Because I was in such need. You know, I was so far behind, and the devil had me convinced that you need to look. If you're going to look at the Bible, you better just look at it for yourself. And it was a self, because if you're already a Christian, he can't get you. So he's got to try and make you ineffective. So the most ineffective Christian is living out salvation for themselves. They're going to heaven, and they're going to try and get everything from God that they can here on the earth. That's not enough for me. That wasn't enough for me. And when we began giving these things out, when we began getting these and getting excited because Creflo Dollar's preaching on the kingdom of God. Miss Glory was preaching on the exact same thing that year, 1996. And it was amazing. It was I still remember going. I remember where I sat when Brother Creflo was wearing a green suit, preaching down on the front. And I remember where I sat when I was listening to Miss Gloria. And I remember the whole thing. Why? Because I'm on fire. And I'm writing down I'm taking notes, and I look down and I'm writing everything they say. So one time I started drawing my notes because I figured so I'd start drawing. I did. I made cartoons. It's for what they're talking. If I had the book, I'd show it to you. I have a whole book of cartoons about, this is just who I am. I actually was doing it when the church first started, and Mrs. Moore saw me doing it, and she said, you probably should pay attention because I was actually serving. And so I quit doing that, actually. Well, I was serving. Now, if I wasn't serving, then I would have done it again. But needless to say, the zeal for those things, and that hasn't changed. That zeal carried me to here. It carried Tom Sanders and Robert to what they're doing today. That zeal is what takes you from place. And that's why the devil wants you to lose that zeal. Right? He wants you to get too smart for it. Right? Well, you know, they can only receive this, so you don't want to give them this. You know what? Give them what they can receive and then minister something else to them. You know, Brother Moore told me one time I was giving something to somebody, and he said, minister that to them, which is totally different than just handing somebody something. It's actually loving it to them and letting them know that the Lord wants them to have this. Because he loves them, because you love them, you desire them to have that. And when you minister a series or a tape or something you heard, when you minister it to somebody, they'll receive it. You've got better chance of them grabbing hold of that than anything you can ever do. Because it's not just about, I got an answer, here you go. It's about, this is what the Lord did for me, and this word changed my life. And I really believe, brother, if you'd listen to it, if you just look at it, and if you have any questions, you can call me, you know, anything. Because we didn't care. We just wanted them to get it. Why? We had answers. We were so excited, we couldn't stand it. If we could just get them to take it, right? So any way we could package it and get it, take it to them. Because we wanted them to see it. Because when you're out there with hope, you want to find the hopeless, right? And we had found hope. And we'd look at people and they'd be hopeless. And we'd say, here, we got hope. We got a bag full of hope. What kind of hope you want today? We have a bag full of hope. This church has a cellar storage full of hope. There should never be a day where you say, I don't know what to do for you. You can say, you know what? I love you and I know there's answers. Let's look at these series together and see if there's not one that catches your eye. Let me help you with this. Let me help you with this. Don't just say, here, take this series. You listen to it, you wouldn't be in bad shape as you are anyway. Wow. Aren't you thankful somebody didn't come to you? Because if they'd have come to me like that, I'd say, why don't you keep your series? Because you probably need to listen to it because you ain't nice. Glory to God, because God, when God pulled me out of a hopeless situation in finances, He sent me into hopeless situations. We had the Shamra who lived with us for through her whole teenage years. She gets to be, what, 16, 17? 17, I think, before she drove. Or did she? Yeah, because we finally asked her, are you going to get a driver's license? You know what she said? Why? I'm never going to own a car. Nobody in her family owned a car. You know what we did? We took out a loan. Why? Because we didn't have enough money to buy a car. And we bought her a car. Glory to God. Glory to God. Best thing. Why? Because was it good knowledge? I don't know, but it was great zeal. And Kim got to teach her how to drive. Taught her how to drive. And got her a car, and we showed you pictures of her earlier, but we were just excited about God. We wanted her to see what God could do. It wasn't us because we didn't have the ability to get it to her, but God did. She knows who bought her that car. It was the Lord. It wasn't Dave and Kim. Dave and Kim couldn't have done it. Worse than that, Dave and Kim wouldn't have done it just years before that. Wouldn't have even thought to do it until you start thinking God thoughts. When you start following and being led by the heart of God and by the Spirit of God and by the eyes of God and by the ears of God. And when you see things and hear things, you hear them the way He hears them. Glory to God. And it changes your answers. It changes that because why? Now you're excited. Why? You're following the answer. You're following the very answer. You always have something to help somebody. Always. And that's exciting. We should never lose that excitement. We should never lose that zeal. You know what? If you got a Bible study, start taping these out. Take them with you. If you got whatever you're doing, do it with all your heart. Do it with the zeal and the fire that God would have you do it in. Amen? Because He's got things for us to do in this church. You know what? It's not just about sitting and listening. It's about going and doing. Amen? The reason we sit and listen is so we have to go and do. Amen? You know what we're doing right now? We're packing up. We're packing up our kit. Our emergency opportunity kit. We're packing it up right now. We're packing it. We've layered it with love. We've walked out the door with love. We got all the word and the good things in there, and they're in here and they're in there, and we're packing it up and we're preparing ourselves for the opportunity that we're looking for. Not that we're not looking, we're not just saying, well, I sure hope God brings me an opportunity today. There's opportunities all over the world. You know how many unsaved people there are? Do you know how many saved people there are that don't know God is good? They get excited when they find out. That's what we found out in 1993 when God gave us a daughter. We found out, wait a second, God's good and He loves us. And we got a little bit excited. And then we started looking at our good God. And He started doing more for us. And then we got really excited. We said, this just isn't about us. We got to let everybody know about this. And we started letting everybody know. And doing those things are what gets you to where you're going. They're what got you here tonight. Every one of us would have a similar story. You're here tonight because you followed God. Amen? And that same zeal that you were following with then, you should be following with Him tonight. It should be just as strong in you. And if it's not, we need to get in the Word. We need to get excited. You need to read like you used to. You need to get in the living room floor. Get rid of your phone. Get rid of your computer. Open up your concordance. Open up three Bibles around it. I used to do this like every night if I wasn't at a Bible study. And I'd look at it and I'd look in the concordance and say, oh man. And then I'd turn on Brother Moore on the VHS. I got VHSs from all over the place. Yeah, what's a VHS? It's like a cassette. It's a dinosaur. Glory to God. It's exciting to serve God. It's exciting not just to, it's exciting to do this, but it's exciting to get that word in you and change somebody's life. It's exciting to go out of here and an usher calls, one of your usher friends calls you one day and says, hey, what's going on? I need some encouragement. And you got it. Why? You carried your emergency kit. You got your emergency opportunity kit right here. And you got it. And you said, you know what? Remember what Brother Moore was saying the other day? Remember what God told us last week? God did this in my life one day. And before you know it, you've helped that brother. Right? Or you come up in the restaurant and the girl's kind of down from normal. Why? Because people have been mean. But you know what? You just had to be nice. Yeah. That was your job. That was your opportunity. All you had to do was be nice. Yeah. How hard should that be for a Christian? Not. Amen? Amen. Because we are packed full, especially in this church, we're packed full of faith. We're packed full of love. We know the word of increase. We know the word of healing. We know the word of salvation. We know the word. And we've been filled with it. And it's time not just to be filled with it, to go out and be, let it fill. It's not the light in you that shines. It's the light out of you. Amen? And when that light starts shining out of you, then you'll find yourself more excited about the things of God. Why? Because you're seeing somebody's life change. Nothing greater than seeing the Word of God change somebody's life. Nothing greater. Glory to God. How many have ever, anybody in here ever led anybody, just led anybody in a salvation prayer? Was that awesome? Did that kick you up for about 3 weeks? Right? And then 3 weeks you're looking for, you need another fix. Right? See, that's the way we ought to be. We ought to be completely hooked on this to where we can't stop. When we do it, it only drags us deeper in. And we're so deep in with God that we can't see anything except opportunity after opportunity. When you look and you go to work and you look out and you see, all you see is people, and that's opportunity. Opportunity. Lord, who's hurting today? I got love. Who needs help today? I got help. Who needs? Because we got it. You got it in here. We've got it in here. Amen? And there's no reason for us not to use these opportunities. We've got to go out and be who God's filling us up to be. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. That's way out there. Thank you, Lord. No notes for any of that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How are we going to wind this thing up? Thank you, Lord. Boldness, confidence. These are the things that the Word puts in us. Amen? We felt like we could do anything God sent us to do. And we thought God was sending us to do everything. He wasn't. But that's what we thought, so that's what we did. Amen? Our desire was, I mean, we'd read scripture just like this, 1 John 5:14, it says, and this is the confidence, the boldness, all outspokenness that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, you know, that's what we're quoting when we're walking in to pray for this guy that's getting ready to die, as far as we know. And we're like, well, it says we can ask anything according to His will. And we know it's His will for him to be saved. So it needs to be His will for him to live, because he needs to be saved. So he's got to live. So, you know, we're looking at stuff just like that, and we're like, this is what we got to have. Lord, we don't know how to get it exactly, but it says in your word we can have it, so we're asking for it. That's how it says we get it. Amen? Amen. And when you ask for it and you get it and you see somebody that's supposed to be dead 2 days later, they're up talking to you, and 2 weeks later, they're out of ICU, out of the hospital. Glory to God. These are the things that zeal, amen, that purposefully living will do. When we wake up with a purpose, we are dangerous to the kingdom of darkness, and we are an asset to the kingdom of light. Glory to God. Glory to God. Go ahead and stand up, because I don't have any idea how to end this, because we're so far out there. The Lord's helping us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And you don't have to remember very far back to when God would use you, because He's using you right now. Amen? Us following Him is what got us to this place. Us following Him and being zealous for the things of God. You know, and the thing about it is, and there was a scripture, and I forget where it was, but it says, your zeal affected other people. When you're on fire for God, you'll affect other people around you. It affected many, as a matter of fact, is what it said. Your zeal has affected many. I would love it to hear God say, you know what, while you were on the earth, you made a few mistakes. But your zeal, whew, it was out there. And there were people coming to me by the droves just following after your zeal, because it affected them so greatly. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. You got a song we can sing, Michelle? Let's try it.
Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing.